Well, today we're continuing in the series that we started a couple of weeks ago, last week actually, called Big Steppers. Any Big Steppers in the house?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, please don't scare the kids. I don't want them thinking there's another earthquake, right? Could you believe that? We had an earthquake in New York, right? Well, I guarantee you after today's message, God's going to rock your boat. God's got something for you. How many of you believe that today? Come on, if you believe that, give God some praise. Come on, there has to be expectation to receive something from God. This series, Big Steppers, we've been learning about what the Bible teaches us on walking by faith. The Bible equates faith to a walk. How many of you walk daily? We all walk, right? You take a walk. But the thing about it is that that walk is indicative of action. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. That we go from faith to faith. In other words, faith is action. It's supposed to move us forward. It's a journey. It's not a destination. The question is, why is faith sometimes so hard? Why is it so hard to walk by faith? Why does it feel like a struggle and a strangle sometimes? Why does it feel like I just can't get this down? I thought I was standing in faith. I've been trying to live by faith, but somehow, in some way, it's not working. Come on, anybody been there like me? Come on, we can be honest, right? We've been there, right? Some of us are there now, right? We go through those seasons. Well, today I want to invite you to dig in with me to the Word of God. I'm not bringing you an opinion here, ladies and gentlemen. The goal here is not to hear a good message. The goal here is not to be inspired or motivated. The goal here is to experience God. It's to connect with God. And I believe that if you and I will open our hearts and lean into the truth in the scriptures, that will happen today. Amen. Today I want to talk to you on the topic, flip or flop. Come on and tell somebody, flip or flop. Listen, we got a choice. We can flip or we can flop. There are many challenges on the journey of faith. But the most significant challenge, my friend, is the one that looks right back at us every single morning in the mirror. Come on, somebody. I know I'm talking to me, but I think I may be talking to some of you too, right? I think God has something to say to us. There are things that you and I see in ourselves and say to ourselves on a daily basis. There is an ongoing story that is part of our internal operating system. It drives our thoughts. It operates not just in the conscious, but in the subconscious. It's how we see ourselves. It's what we tell ourselves. It's what we've experienced that now in our minds and our hearts becomes reality. But the truth is it a reality? Is it the truth? See, we challenge our faith with what we see about ourselves, with what we say about ourselves, with what we do because of what we see and what we say. And it's what often causes us to flop in life. You ever feel stuck in an area in your life? You ever been there? I've been there. I go through it. We all go through it. Don't let the pastor title fool you, by the way. I go through it too, right? Where you feel stuck, where it's just like, man, I'm just waiting for breakthrough. I'm wanting a breakthrough. And could it be, my friend, that we're flopping in an area in our life because of something that we're telling ourselves that's inconsistent with what God says? Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I feel stuck. I feel like I don't understand. Like, I'm confused. Like, it's just so hard. My friend, you are telling yourself the wrong story. You are replaying the wrong story. Yeah. And so the Bible gives us the example of a man named Moses who was in the same place that you and I are. Moses was a Hebrew who was born into a royal empire, the royal empire of Egypt. Moses was born at a time where they were killing Hebrew boys under 2 years old for the sake of not allowing them to grow up so that Israel would expand. And Moses was spared by divine intervention of God. And so the Pharaoh's daughter sees him in this little basket, takes him unto herself, and she raises him as her own child. So Moses grows up in royalty. He grows up in the household of Pharaoh. And so while he's a Hebrew, all his training as Egyptian, but deep in his heart, there was a passion for the people of Israel. Now, the people of Israel were enslaved. They were stuck. And Moses had privileges. And one day, he sees what's happening to the people of Israel. And it comes to full circle for him when there's this Israelite who's enslaved doing hard labor, and this Egyptian abuses him. And Moses reacts out of emotion. And in this moment, Moses kills this Egyptian. Somebody say, uh-oh. Yeah, absolutely. It was an uh-oh moment. Because in that moment, what Moses ended up doing was he acted in his calling outside of the timing. He was called to be a deliverer, but it wasn't his time yet. And so Moses kills this guy, and everything goes kaputs. Pharaoh puts out a hit on him. Oh, you didn't know that the Bible's an action-packed a book. Absolutely. Listen, there is no movie that trumps it. This is a stellar winner, Oscar award, Emmy, whatever you want to call it. It's that and more. And so Moses goes on the run. And for 40 years after that moment, Moses lives in obscurity. He lives in desert places. He marries a woman. He's working for his father-in-law, taking care of sheep, cattle, and he's a herder. He's a shepherd. He's taking care of herds. And on one of these days, just like every other day, Moses is just taking care of these animals. And you got to understand what that means. He's probably cleaning up after them. He's probably caring for them and bathing them. It's like, nah, not me. Pun intended, nah, right? But on this particular day, as Moses is doing what he did every single day, he sees something interesting. He comes across a bush that's burning. The thing about it is the scripture says that the bush was not being consumed. In other words, the leaves were intact. There was no smoke coming from this. And Moses draws near out of curiosity. He says to himself, let me see this thing. Let me see if my eyes are deceiving me. So he draws closer. And in that moment, God calls out to him. And he says to him, Moses, Moses. God repeats his name twice. I believe that there are some of us that God has been saying the same thing to you multiple times. And the only reason why God says things more than once is when we're not listening. It's when we have a story that we're telling ourselves that we're attempting to override his story with. And so he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses goes, that's me. Here I am. And he has this encounter with God where God reveals to him, the timing is now for you to step up as a deliverer. I'm sending you back to Israel, despite your fears, despite your worries. I'm sending you back. You're going to deliver these people. And Moses goes, I stutter. I'm not qualified. I'm afraid. Not me. I'm just a shepherd. I've got all these excuses. And in the midst of that, what Moses is doing is attempting to disqualify himself before God. He's telling God the story that he has in his own internal operating system. He's repeating it, he's regurgitating it, and God's not moved by it. Can I say something to somebody that needs to hear this day? The story that you keep telling yourself, the things that have been embedded in you, the beliefs that rob you of an abundant life, those stories do not trump God's story. God is still seeking you. God is still calling you. God is still meeting you. There's still a burning bush where God is calling you through to, and he's inviting you to encounter relationship with him. Somebody give God some praise if that's you. You believe that. But the reason why God had to draw Moses near in such a spectacular way was because Moses needed to experience God in a different way. He needed something that would help him override those thoughts. Proverbs 23, verse 7 puts it this way. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is what? So is he. So is he. So is he. What is the scripture telling us? You and I cannot get away from our heart. You can't get away from your beliefs. If you believe you can't, you won't. If you believe you're not good enough, you'll act like you're not good enough. If you believe that it's not for you, my friend, while God has everything for you, you will rob yourself of the opportunities and the doors that God has set up before you. Why? Because your belief overrides God's truth. Now, it doesn't negate God's truth, but here's how good God is. God says, I love you so much, and I'm faithful, but I have not called you to be a puppet. I know there are some of us that we believe, oh, God is in control. He's in control to the extent that you give him control. God will not override your operating system. Instead, he will give you and I truth. And by that truth, the scripture says, we can be free. But you got to know it. So therefore, God gave us Christ. And Jesus came in the form of a man because we don't know what it looks like to live in faith. We don't know what it is to experience God. We don't know what it is to experience power to overcome. And so he modeled a new story for us, and he gave us a better way. But to go down this road with Jesus not only takes faith, it calls for us to take off the limits. To replace the story that you and I keep telling us. Got to tell somebody, today's your day to replace your story. Yeah, today's the day. Yeah, today's the day for breakthrough. And so Moses has this moment with God, right? And God says to him, do not come any closer. Exodus 3, verse 5. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals. Let me put it to you this way. Take off your flip-flops, right? Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Let's leave that up for a moment. For some of us, we're hearing that and we're going, I can't approach God because I'm not holy enough. I'm not good enough. That's not what God was saying to Moses. You see, God knew the condition of the heart of Moses. He knew what was going on there, what he believed there. It's the reason why God insisted on continuing this, engaging him, having this conversation with him. And so in the midst of this, God is saying to Moses, take off your sandals, take off your flip-flops, take off your excuses. Because you can't go where I'm taking you with that. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody online needs to hear this too. You cannot go where God is calling you to by flopping back to where you've been. You can't hold on to the same mindsets and expect breakthrough. Can't. Can't. See, Moses' flip-flops represented limits, just like they do for us. They were rooted in his past, in his fears, in his guilt, in his shame, in his doubts and insecurities. And these all became limiting factors to accepting his purpose and discovering his divine assignment. Now, ladies, are you in the house today? Any ladies in the house? Okay, there are ladies in the house today. Fellas, you'll understand why I'm calling on the ladies. Ladies, I know you are excited about the season. You are pulling out your flip-flops. You're ordering some new ones, right? You got all shapes and sizes, colors. You're excited because, man, the summer is coming, and I'm going to put on my flip-flops. But let me tell you something about flip-flops, ladies. Fellas, let me tell you something about flip-flops, because we may not wear those, but every one of us flips and flops. Let me tell you something about flip-flops. Flip-flops are not suitable for the long haul. No. Flip-flops are not suitable for life. They do not provide protection. They do not provide support. And they provide no stability. Listen, you are not going anywhere for very long with flip-flops. And in the same way, you can't go anywhere that God is calling you to very long if you're flipping and flopping. Right. Can't do it. It's not going to work. See, Moses almost missed his destiny because he listened to his own story instead of the one that the Lord was telling him. Now's a good moment to take a holy moment with God. And I want you to think about, what are the areas in your life? What are the beliefs that rob you of life? What's the thing that keeps you now in this moment from fully trusting God? What's the thing that stops you? And my friend, if you will truly take a look in your heart, here's what you'll hear. Your voice. You'll hear your past. You'll hear your struggles. You'll hear your fears. You'll hear your worries. You'll hear your doubts. That's not what God wants to do in your life. Tell somebody, today's the day I break free. Come on and give God some praise. I want to tell you three things on how to do that today. The first one is to win the day, you have to win in the dark. Let me say that again. To win the day, come on, say this with me. You have to win in the dark. You got to win in the dark. What am I talking about? According to a recent study at the Cleveland Clinic, 80% of the average person's thoughts are negative. 80%. They surveyed thousands upon thousands of people, and what we found is that over 80% of them naturally deferred to negative thoughts, negative thinking. They saw the bad before they saw the good. Social scientists estimate that we process 60,000 thoughts daily through our cerebral synapses. Now, listen, it takes thinking to breathe, believe it or not. Right? It takes thinking to react. It takes thinking to perceive things. We're always thinking, not just in our conscious part of our mind, but in our subconscious, we're always thinking. And so if we just follow the math of what social scientists say that if we follow the math according to social science, that would mean that 48,000 of our daily thoughts are negative. You know what that's called? A problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. We all have automatic negative thoughts. We struggle with them. They are there. Some of us are better at not entertaining them than others, but we all get trapped in those negative thoughts. And it's for that reason that we have to address what happens in the dark. Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 22. He says, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be what? Disclosed. It's meant to be disclosed. And whatever's concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." Into the open. Anyone who has ears to hear, let them hear. Let me just pause right there for a moment on that scripture. And I want you to think about something. It stands to reason, according to the words of Jesus, that you and I cannot afford to hide, ignore, or entertain negative stories. Why? Because what you hear and how you hear determines the life you will have. And so we have to bring what's in the dark into the light. Yeah, we gotta shed some light on that. We gotta expose that. The scriptures tell us in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're not gonna turn there, of the life of a man named Jabez. They summarize his life in two verses. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10 tells us that Jabez was unlike his countrymen. The original language denotes that it was talking about his siblings, his family. He was unlike them. And then verse 10 tells us why. See, Jabez was different than them because Jabez dared to believe differently than them. And so one day, the scripture says, Jabez said to God, "Oh, that you would bless me and that you would enlarge my territory, that you would help me to break past where I'm stuck, that you would help me to see something greater for my life, that you would help me to take bolder steps of faith, that you would enlighten me to truth in such a way that it helps me to see that there is more in store to help me in this place of unbelief." And the Bible says that God blessed him. Can I tell you that that's the summary of our lives if we allow God to do what he wants to do? God can summarize your life in two verses in a succinct way. God can literally change your life from going from a place where I believe I have not and I cannot to believing I can and I will because I'm doing this with God. Come on and give God some praise. See, the only way to win in the dark is to bring your story into the light of God's presence. In fact, the scripture tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet. It clarifies where we are, but it gives us just enough light to see, oh, wait, I can take a step. There is something more. I can do this despite the challenges. I can succeed in life. I may have been homeless, but I'm no longer helpless. I may struggle in this area in my marriage, but God is still working. See, the Word of God gives you light to see, but you have to bring your junk. You got to bring what's in the dark into the light. That makes sense? Which leads me to our second point. Unless you allow Jesus to flip your script, you'll flop in life. Yeah. Unless you allow Jesus to flip your script, you'll flop in life. We all have a script, friends. We all have a story by which we perform in life, by which we react and we see life and we approach relationships and we approach opportunities and we approach the workplace and we approach church and we approach God and we approach people. We all have a script operating in the background. See, everything in life is created twice. It's created twice. I'll prove it to you. The first creation is internal. The second creation is physical. Think of it this way. Everything was once a thought. Before you had a family, you had a thought. Before you went into business, you had a thought. Before you matured in your faith, you were thinking about it. Before you were underperforming at work, you were thinking about it. Before you've been in conflict and live according to conflict, you've been thinking about it. Before you became hesitant and taking a step to discover new opportunities, you thought about it. That's been operating. It's been working in your heart and in your mind. John Quincy Adams once said this, whoever tells the best story wins. Let me ask you this, what's your story? Take 10 seconds right now and think about what is a limiting story that you keep replaying. Is it I'm not enough? Is it I don't belong? Is it I'm not safe? Is it I can't? Is it I always fail? Is it I'm doing everything alone? Is it where's God? Is it I'm not good enough? You see, friend, we all have a story. For some of us, we have a good story. We have a right story. We all have a right story, but we're listening to the wrong voice. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Hebrews 12, starting at verse 1, says this, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There's a journey ahead of us. Fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. In the original language, this says the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to pause right there, leave that verse up for a moment. What I want you to see is that the scripture is telling us that there is another story. See, there's your story, and then there's his story. And his story is your story, but you and I sometimes don't realize that because we're stuck in the story we keep telling ourselves. See, Jesus has written a sequel to your life. Are you still in the first chapter? Are you still in that story? Looking to those people, looking to church that way, looking to relationships that way, looking to relating to God that way, looking to the future back there. Friend, that story doesn't work. That story doesn't work. The scriptures say that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And what I love about this verse is that it depicts how it's supposed to work for us. It says that Jesus fixed his eyes on what was ahead. He wasn't moved by the pain and the challenges. No, instead, he saw joy. He saw the next chapter. He saw the better story. And the reason why he sat down after all that is because he's sitting in victory. Friend, could it be that your victory is contingent upon the mystery that you keep struggling with behind your eyes? Come Could it be that you're missing your story?
Yeah.
Man, that's why, can I tell you, for some of us, we go, well, you know, I'm in the scriptures. And that's great, but what you need is more than the scriptures. You need a script cure. You need to let the word of God begin overriding the story you've been telling yourself. You need to allow this word to settle so deep in your hearts that you are meditating upon it, that you are seeing yourself in the story. When you hear the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, do you see sheep or do you see you amongst the sheep? See, the Bible helps us see a new picture. And the intention of this picture is to transform what we see and how we see ourselves. Which leads me to our last point. The only way to begin a new chapter is to move on from the last one. Here's the truth, friends. If we're not careful, what we will do, my friend, and I'm going to tell you, I've done it. I know what it is to be stuck. I know what it is to believe in Jesus and not make a move. Can I tell you, the only reason, when I met Pastor Annette, she was God's gift to me. It began to open my understanding. I began to see God differently, but that doesn't mean that I wasn't struggling. I was. Our first apartment as a married couple was in a studio apartment on 194th and Marion in the Bronx. And we were renting from roaches. Let me tell you why I say we were renting from roaches. You know there's a problem when you open the cabinet and the roaches don't. Yeah, that was their apartment. We were tenants and they were the landlords. But let me tell you why we were there, why we were stuck there. It wasn't because God wasn't working. It was because I believe that's all we could afford. I believe that's all I was good enough to provide. I believed in Jesus, but I believed my story a little bit more. I was stuck. My kids were stuck. My marriage was stuck. But there came a point where this word began to transform my eyes. I began to believe that when the scripture says the Lord is my shepherd, it wasn't talking about David. I began to believe he's talking about me. And this went from being a Bible scripture to being my story. And I began to see differently. Can I prove to you that you have the ability to transition from an automatic negative thought process to the truth that sets you free? Let me prove to you why you can do that. Because every one of us sees. And every one of us focuses on a story. But you can have a new story, friend. You can see something different for your children. You could begin to envision business in a different way. You could begin to envision your future beyond your present and your past. You can begin to breathe and believe and grow excited about the promises in God's word. You can begin to dream of a better tomorrow because God is in the midst of your story. See, he has written another story. Yes. But you got to flip the page on your past. See, like Moses, the danger of continuing to tell ourselves the wrong story is that we sacrifice the right story. We sacrifice our best story. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us how to do this. Starting at verse 1, he says, therefore, I urge you. Say that with me. I urge you. You missed it. You missed it. Because it doesn't say I urge you. He's not talking about me. I urge me. See, you got to experience God in his word. There's something that Jesus is saying to you and me right now in this moment. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I discovered something. Go back to that verse, please. I discovered something as I was looking at this verse that I've never known. It's always been there, but I've never known it. The word body there, bodies, this is the only place in the scriptures that that word is used. That word bodies, Greek language, is the word that was used for people that were enslaved. In ancient times, when they looked upon people that were enslaved, they did not look to them, unfortunately, they did not look to them as people. They did not look at them as people. They looked at the body. Is he good enough? Is he strong enough? Can he do this? Can she do this? Right? They would look just at the body. And so watch what the scripture is saying here, because the context in which this word was used is looking at one who is enslaved. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Watch what the scripture is saying. The one thing that you and I are to offer daily to die is the things that keep us stuck. It's the belief that enslaves you to being that in that place where you settle for less than God's best. And God says, daily offer this body, this dead thing, kill that daily, again and again and again. Friend, every day you got to talk yourself happy. Every day you got to tell yourself your worth. Every day you got to look in that mirror and tell yourself, I am God's beloved. I am healthy. I am strong. I can do all things. I walk with God. God is for me. Who can be against me? Today's a good day, and I'm going to have a great day because God made this day, and God don't make junk. And so I'm going to enjoy this day. I'm going to walk in this day. I'm going to embrace opportunities. I'm going to dare to do new things. Come on and give God some praise in this house. Now, lest you think I'm making this up and just pumping you up, notice how this operates in context of the scriptures. I'm not giving you a good idea or my own idea. Verse 2 tells us that that's what verse 1 is saying. Verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. The word conform there speaks of liquid that's poured in, and whatever shape it's poured into, it takes that shape. So here's what God's word is saying. Do not pour yourself, your beliefs, your thoughts, the way you see yourself into conformity with what other people say, with what the world tells you, with what the news tells you, with what your past tells you. But instead it tells us be transformed. I said be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. And then, you will be able to test and to prove. That's talking about experiencing what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
That's right.
When the scriptures tell us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we have to take it as God's word. Friend, the Bible calls us co-laborers in Christ Jesus. God has done his part. You know what our part is? You got to kill that automatic negative thought daily. You got to lay that down. You got to be aggressive with that. You can't back down from that, and you can't settle with that. See, Moses had a story. You have a story. I have a story. We all have a story, but your story doesn't have to become your history. Your story doesn't have to become your life sentence. Listen closely. Moses was a murderer. Abraham was an idol worshiper. David was an adulterer. Jacob was a cheater. Matthew was a corrupt tax collector. Mary, Lazarus' sister, was a prostitute. Paul persecuted Christians. Peter cursed and denied Jesus. All these people had a story that disqualified them. But thank God. I said, thank God. I said, thank God that God doesn't call qualified people. No, God qualifies you. Come on and stand to your feet with me as we close today. Friend, don't let your past story limit the future glory that God has in store for you. It's time to take some big steps. Come on and shout it nice and loud. I'm a big stepper. Come on, I'm taking steps of faith with God. Come on. Now, as we close today, with every eye closed, every head bowed, not because it makes it more spiritual, but it does deter distractions. I want to ask you two questions. Because the goal here is to experience God, not to hear a good message. What is Jesus saying to you? He's shedding light in our lives. What is he saying to you? What is he revealing to you? The second question. And listen, there's no sense in trying to hide from God. He loves you and he knows you and he still qualifies you. So let's be real with God. The second question is this. What are you going to do differently? What's going to change from this point forward? Because my friend, this is your burning bush moment. And God is speaking to you. Father, today we come to you in your precious name. In full light, full transparency. You know our thoughts. You know our hearts. And yet you love us. Yet you pursue us. Yet you paid the ultimate price for us. Our negative thoughts do not change your thoughts about us. You love us. And your word declares that you have good plans, that you give us a hope and a future. Today, Lord, I pray unto everyone in this house and online and in the sound of my voice that you would enlighten and that you would open and that you would quicken our understanding, that you would help us to see, Lord, that where we're stuck doesn't have to be our strangle any longer. Because, Lord, you overcame every struggle on the cross. The reason why you came in the form of a man was because a man messed it up and a man had to fix it. And because we couldn't fix it, you overrode us. You paid the price for us. You died on the cross and you rose again to prove you're God and to prove that we can rise too. Today, Lord, this day, we fix our eyes on your story. The author and the finisher of our faith. And what you have penciled in the book of life, in the story of our life, is that we are forgiven, it's that we are loved, it's that we are qualified, it's that we are good enough, it's that we are safe, it's that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And today, Lord, we fix our eyes upon you. We flip the script. We turn the page. We trust in you. There's someone online. There's someone in this house. You didn't come here by coincidence. You didn't tune in by coincidence. No, friend. This is a divine moment, an appointment with God. And Jesus is speaking to you just like he's speaking to me, just like he's speaking to us. See, he's not looking to impart rules so you know. He wants your heart. And he wants to give you a new life. For some of us, we're at a place of decision. We're struggling. We struggle to believe in God. We struggle to trust in God. Some of us, we're following Jesus, but we're not fixed on Jesus. We're not fixed on his story. Today's a day of decision for Jesus. Make a decision for Jesus to now walk with him. He's been walking with you, but now you're going to walk with him. For others, we've never walked with Jesus. We've never accepted him as Lord and Savior. We've been fixed on our problems. We've been fixed on life's challenges. We've been fixed on what we've been told and what we've experienced and the hardships of life. But today there's a new story, and you believe that for the first time. My friend, if you believe that with us today, would you pray this with us? Because we're going to pray this with you. Let's extend our hands to heaven. If you're accepting Christ today, if you're making a decision to turn back to Jesus, you're taking a hold of him today. Come on, here and online. God sees you. He knows your heart. We raise our hands not for show. We raise our hands because we trust in God and we're taking a hold of his hands today. Let's pray this together. Say, Jesus, I believe. You love me so much. You paid the price for my sin. I believe that you died for it, and I believe that you rose again so that I can rise again. Today I declare you are my Lord, you are my Savior, you are my God, and from this day forward, I thank you for new life. Hey everybody, thank you so much for joining us here at Church of the Bridge today. I pray that you had a personal encounter with God, that he spoke to you powerfully, and that he met you at your place of need with this message. I also want to encourage you to go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page. By doing so, you'll be able to check out past messages, past events that we've done. You'll also be able to see what's happening now and those things that are to come. And lastly, I'd like to invite you to join with us in all that God is doing with your giving. Feel free to do so on our website. Again, thank you again for joining us, and I can't wait to connect with you next week.